Welcome to this week's edition of the Property Buyer and Sellers Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Hume, and I'm here to take you through the very latest news and views, hints, tips, and tricks to help you on your property journey. Well, hello and welcome. The Property Buyer and Sellers Podcast is back once more. How are you? I hope you're well. It is the 5th of November, so it's firework or Guido or Guy Fawkes night coming tonight. Feel sorry for all the pets personally, particularly dogs. You see them petrified, don't you, in these circumstances. So lots to talk about today. I've got a story about a man arrested after a vicar told how he returned home to find his home had been sold without his knowledge. We'll come back onto that in a little while. Now, the big story, of course, is that the Bank of England has held the interest rate on hold at 0.1%. This is the big story of the week. The Monetary Policy Committee met yesterday. This is the committee of the Bank of England that decides on interest rates. And a lot of people have asked me why and how and what's it all about. Well, basically, the Bank of England has been independent of the government. I say that loosely because they are connected, and I'll explain how in a moment. But there are a number of members of the Monetary Policy Committee, and their job is to decide when or if interest rates rise or fall. They make this decision based on a number of factors, and one of the factors, and the most important factor of all, is inflation. And as many of you will know, inflation has been running out of control. Prices have been going up and up in many respects. Lots and lots of materials and everyday items are going up in price. And this leads to inflationary pressures. Why is this bad? Well, if you're a saver, if you have money in a bank and you're earning a very low interest rate, such as 0.1%, for instance, which is the current base rate, or perhaps even if you're earning 1%, if inflation is running at 4 or 5%, then the value of every £1,000 that you hold is reduced by 5% every year, i.e. £50 in that case. But it really, so when you multiply that up, it can become quite significant. Imagine if that amount was £100,000, and for many pensioners, it is that or more. And then losing, you know, 10% of that would be £1,000, and so on. Imagine if it were more than that. And average pension funds can be much higher, and people can rely on their income. So it's very important for them that interest rates are not as low as they are. And it's been a real struggle for many people, which is why people have diversified into property over the years. However, because of the recession and various other factors, interest rates have been held historically low now for a long period of time. And the question is, not if, but when will the Bank of England put up interest rates? And when they do, how much by? And it looks like, well, we know for a fact now, the announcement yesterday was good news. Interest rates will remain at 0.1%. The next time that they can raise rates, by the way, is December. That's the next time they meet. And then after that, I don't think they'll do much in December, being it's on top of Christmas. I would imagine interest rates going up then. That would be a Christmas present and a half, wouldn't it? But they certainly have the power to do that. And then it's February is the next time after that. And I suspect the time we'll see rates increase will be February next year. And I don't think they're going to raise by a significant amount, but it's a signal that interest rates are on the up and not on the way down. Already, we see fixed rate mortgages are increasing across the board. And so, you know, we've been saying for some time, although this is not financial advice, it's a great time to fix your rate if you're staying put. And sure enough, those rates are starting to creep up already, even though interest rates have been put on hold. Here's the article in The Guardian today. House buyers have been given a few extra months to lock into record low mortgage rates after the Bank of England held the base rate at 0.1%. Banks had been repricing their mortgage products in the run-up to the announcement and amid speculation that rate would rise to 0.25%. However, while there are no longer 3 and 5 year mortgages for sale at interest rates below 1%, borrowers with large deposits still have a broad choice of loans priced at less than 2%. Experts said prices were unlikely to fall while the cost of debt remained close to record lows, but activity and growth would slow as increased reduced borrowers' disposable income. Lucian Cook, head of research at Savills, said while the best deals may now already be history, the decision not to raise interest rates will give home buyers further opportunity to lock into the low interest rates that have given a booming housing market oxygen during the past 16 months. Any rise would be expected to continue to a slowing in price growth and activity over the next 12 months. Meanwhile, David Fell, a senior analyst at Hamptons, said that recent increases in the cost of mortgages would remind buyers that rates did not only move in a downward direction. Well, it's very true. And we have been saying for some time they'll increase. They're not going to go off the scale, though, you know, so don't panic. It's not going to be the end of the world because, of course, there are conflicting things. First of all, the Bank of England have to write to the governor or the Chancellor of the Exchequer when interest rates go up above a certain level and explain what they've done about it. So the idea is that they have a responsibility to the Chancellor. And although the Chancellor doesn't control those interest rates, he certainly has influence. And the situation at the moment is that the problem is that inflation is running rampant. Is it temporary? Is it permanent? No one really knows. And therefore, they've decided not to increase rates at the moment because the argument is that the inflationary pressures right now may be temporary and we may start to see them fall off as other pressures bite. So that remains to be seen, but one to watch anyway. And it's good news, interest rates are not going up, although you will find, because of course, lenders price their products at whatever the market will stand. And many big lenders have chosen to increase their rates anyway to increase their margins. Of course, they don't. The lenders that are banks, such as Barclays, NatWest, and the like, they borrow money from the Bank of England in order to pay money out in the form of mortgages. So the actual base rate directly impacts them. Friendly societies, such as the building societies, and an example of a building society would be Nationwide, actually rely on savers to fund their loans. So they take in savings and provide a rate, a percentage rate of interest, in order to hold those savings and a rate of return for the investor. And in return, they then use that money to grant mortgages. So that's quite a different scenario. And they have the power, therefore, to not follow the base rate. However, largely they do, because if they follow the base rate, of course, they can then return a greater rate of savings, which means more people will invest with them. And then they have more money available to fund mortgages. Bottom line is interest rates are likely to go up. If you're staying put and you have a mortgage, might be a good time still, although this is not financial advice, to think about changing if you have the opportunity. Now, an article from City AM today, UK home sellers are increasingly plugging, pardon the pun, electric car charging points, according to Rightmove. The property site said the number of listings with EV charging points on the premises or in a nearby street has increased by 541% compared to this time last year. The total number of properties for sale on the property service that include a mention of this feature has increased by approximately 50% since the start of September. Agents also report that more buyers are inquiring about electric car charging points in homes for sale. Tim Bannister, Rightmove's property expert, predicts that charging points will become an increasingly common feature. He said, alongside the energy performance of a home, we anticipate that electric car charging points will become more important for buyers over the next few years and will be an additional selling point for movers listing their home. Well, I think that's true, but actually they're not vastly expensive. I think the bigger question is whether you have the capability to get one, i.e. if you're in a home where you don't have off-street parking, then it may be that there's a point in the road where you can the part of land that you own where you can install a charging point, and that would be significant. But for those that have a garage, I don't think it's quite so significant, because for a few hundred pounds you can have one installed. And I don't think any buyer would think, well, I'm not buying that because it doesn't have one. I think they'd just get one installed if they had an electric car. So a bit of a counter argument there, but I do think that yes, electric cars are coming, and the mass adoption of electric cars, in my view, is next year. I do think in 2022, we'll see a mass adoption of electric cars, and the implications will be that there will be huge demand for charging points. We're already seeing lampposts converted into charging points as well. Obviously, that creates some problems with cables, and there are various solutions coming out for those too. But interesting to see, and it's good news for the environment, of course. So we're all for it here at James Alexander. But I do think that people will not buy a house because it's got an electric car charging point or not. If it's got a garage or off-street parking, then clearly there's the ability to fit one in. That's my take on that. Tenants demand nationwide landlord licensing. Well, this is a touchy subject, isn't it? Many of you landlords out there will know that many local authorities have registered and ran schemes of landlord licensing in their boroughs, what they call selective licensing schemes. And the idea is that these licensing schemes will work in areas where it is known that there are issues, and those issues will be dealt with by the local authority policing these schemes. We've had one here in the London Borough of Croydon, and that lasted for 5 years. The statistics on what they actually achieved were not great, and actually central government refused them the new license when they reapplied. Of course they want this license. Why? Well, they were charging £750 per landlord in the case of Croydon. Some are charging significantly more. So for them, it was a great cash cow in a difficult time. What do I think? Well, I don't have a problem with a nationwide landlord licensing scheme. If we're all paying the same amount, then I don't really have a problem with that, because if it does stop slum landlords. But, you know, I do have to say that in my experience, certainly in our area, the number of landlords that I meet that I walk away from because I don't believe that they'll comply with legislation is very, very low. In the past few years, there are very few landlords I've met that aren't complying or won't comply with the safety issues as necessary. What I do find sometimes is people that are self-managing will miss the regular checks. And that is a problem, such as the smoke alarm checks and sometimes the gas safety certificates and the electrical safeties. And that's something that you should be up on, landlords. And if you're not, and you're not able to do it, or you're just not finding the time, find yourself a good professional managing agent that can handle those tasks for you so you can be hands-off. You know, one of the beautiful things about buy-to-let is that it can be hands-off if you have your property managed. If you don't, then it can be a significant bind for you on your time and cause significant pressures in terms of compliance, particularly in keeping on top of all those things, not least rent collection and making sure the rent comes in, your tenants are happy, regular inspections and the like. NHS staff are unable to find rental homes in Cornwall. Well, that's hardly surprising, is it? Cornwall, we've said for some time, has been one of the most popular hotspots of the pandemic. And NHS workers say the stress of finding a rental property in Cornwall is overwhelming. Graham Milne, who works in the radiography department at the Royal Cornwall Hospital, said he's looking for somewhere to live after his current landlord decided to sell. And again, of course, this is an added pressure because the property prices in Cornwall have gone up 20% or so. So, you know, people are more inclined to sell, especially with the added pressures and government disincentives for many landlords these days. He said he recently viewed a property in Falmouth, and there were 75 people ahead of him wanting the same home. Cornwall Council has said it's working to address housing pressures. Royal Cornwall Hospital NHS Trust said finding affordable housing to rent or buy is one of the biggest challenges it faced when recruiting staff from outside of Cornwall. Yeah, and I see this as a growing trend, especially in beauty spots. How are they going to do it? Well, the government would need to build more. And as we know, they're already not hitting existing targets. So I'm pessimistic, I'm afraid, about this one. But we have said for some time that the pressures and demand for rental properties, particularly in rural beauty spots, is massive. And it's a problem that's not going to ease soon. So I'm not sure I have the answers, but I certainly recognise the problem. And it would be nice to see some land and some properties allocated for key workers so that they can find themselves a family home, often in a place they've lived all their lives. It doesn't seem fair that they then can't find somewhere to live. An article in the Telegraph about the green targets. Landlords face £10 billion hit to meet green targets. Now, this is interesting because next week we've got Bob Harris coming on the show. And Bob Harris is an expert in what you can do to make your home greener. And he will be coming on the show and telling us about ground source heat pumps, air source heat pumps, all sorts of energy efficiency measures that the government are getting behind, and what you should do to meet the targets that are coming up. Anyway, the article says landlords face having to fork out a combined £10 billion to insulate their properties to the required standard if the government forges ahead with plans to make rented accommodation more efficient. J&W Solicitors estimates that around 2 million landlords will be stung by the proposals from the business department, which will require all houses for tenants to achieve a rating of at least band C under the Energy Performance Certificate scheme. The firm warned that the cost of installing new insulation and other energy saving measures would run to £4,700 per property, or £9.4 billion in total. David Smith, a partner at JMW, said the approach taken by the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy in their proposal is difficult to understand as it fails to take into consideration the reality of properties in the UK. Well, we would echo that, and really looking forward to what Bob has to say about that as well. There are some new build properties which do not meet the requirement of a banned CEPC and older properties which will never be able to meet it, regardless of the owner's best efforts and intentions. So that's interesting. And as I say, next week we have an episode fully devoted to that with the lovely Bob Harris. Do listen into that. He's an interesting guy. Article now in the Mail about Purple Bricks. You may have seen their share price dropped off a cliff this week. Forgive me for crying in my coffee. Purple Bricks has seen its share price drop after warning that it was running out of houses to sell. Trading in the 6 months to the end of October had been challenging for the group, as the number of homes it had been instructed to sell slowed significantly following the pandemic boom. Estate agents cashed in during the coronavirus as a cut to stamp duty, low mortgages and demand for green space from urban dwellers working from home fueled a market explosion. However, the buying frenzy has eaten into housing stock, which coupled with the end of the stamp duty holiday and the prospect of an interest rate rise has left sellers more hesitant about putting up for sale signs. As a result, the lack of supply, Purple Bricks is expected to conduct 22,000 property sales in the period, a 38% decline year on year. The shortfall was expected to continue into 2022, with the company's full-year profits now predicted to be below previous expectations. Well, those of you that watch carefully will also know that they've changed their model. They're now employing agents directly rather than the self-employed model they've previously used. They're also being sued by previous employees. They have a nightmare of a time ahead of it. But the truth is, when you try to do things really cheap, then it's going to come home to roost at some point. And I think you might find that Purple Bricks have had their day. But time will tell. Be interesting to watch that journey. The Daily Telegraph reports the return of international buyers has given London's high-end properties an overdue boost. Prime central London property prices have risen at their fastest pace in more than 6 years as wealthy foreign buyers return to the capital. The average price rose 1.2% in the year to October, according to figures published by Knight Frank. I know it doesn't sound a lot, does it, when you think about the rest of the country, particularly some of the northern cities, Manchester and Liverpool. But this is the fastest rate since September 2015. You have to remember that London was really hit hard by the pandemic as the exodus from the cities continued apace. The estate agents said demand had been boosted by the loosening of COVID travel restrictions, but added that it was not yet business as usual for the market, with not all international buyers ready to commit to a purchase. We're not on the verge of the sort of dramatic double-digit bounce back in prices seen after the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008. But the prime London market is resuming an overdue recovery that was interrupted by the pandemic, said Tom Bill, head of research at Knight Frank. Michael Gove said there's a new planning algorithm. That's an interesting one. It said it's going to level up things for everybody. I'm not convinced about that. I think, you know, again, soundbite, not interested. In the end, we need more homes. They're not building enough. They're not putting enough money behind it. And they haven't thought through a proper strategy to do it. As usual with the government, the soundbites are that people are saying that, you know, they want to help. The government is saying that they want to help. They want to build enough houses. We need 300,000 houses a year just to keep pace with current demand for properties. We're not getting anywhere near that. We haven't done so for a long time. And it looks to me like the crisis will continue. Now, what does that mean for you? Well, if you're in property, it means that you really are in a strong position. If you're outside of the property market, well, then I'm afraid it does mean that the pressure on housing will continue. And I do expect we'll see many more stories, such as the radiographer, where they just can't afford accommodation in a reasonable price in the area where they work, where there's such demand and not enough supply. And yes, there are corporate competitors coming into the space, but even with all that extra letting properties that they'll be doing, it's just too little, and it certainly won't plug the massive hole that is the gulf between the amount of council properties and housing association stock and private landlords all put together. Still won't quench the demand. So I suspect this argument will run and run, and perhaps it's one of the reasons why we never get a housing minister for more than a short period of time. We seem to get a new one every year, and the truth is that it's a difficult problem, and the government know it's a political hot potato, and I think they do their best. But in reality, they don't want to chuck that much money at it, and it needs significant sums chucking at it to make any dent at all. At least we need to be building more houses. I personally think that we need to be reinventing the city centres, particularly around the areas that now have massive areas of vacant commercial property. We should be looking to redevelop those, reinvigorate those, and turn a lot of those into residential properties so that we do have homes for our nation. Now, onto the interesting story I mentioned at the beginning. A man has been arrested on suspicion of fraud after a vicar told how he returned home to find his home had been sold without his knowledge. Can you imagine? Reverend Mike Hall was working in North Wales when he received a call from his neighbours on the 20th of August to say someone was staying at his house in Luton. A BBC investigation found Mr. Hall's identity had been stolen and used to sell the house and bank the proceeds. The man is being held on suspicion of fraud by false representation. Bedfordshire police say the man from Bedford was arrested at his home address this morning. It's interesting. The Land Registry paid out a total of £3.5 million in compensation for fraud last year. The morning after the phone call from his neighbours, Mr. Hall drove to his property. He says, "I went to the front door, tried my key in the front door. It didn't work. And a man opened the door to me." He told BBC's Radio 4's You and Yours. Mr. Hall said his home had been completely stripped of all furniture and furnishings. The man at the property said he was doing building work and contacted the new owner's father, who said he had bought the terraced house in July. Mr. Hall said, "We then tried to access the Land Registry documentation online to find out whose name appeared. And it is, in fact, as of 4th of August, this man's name." Detective Inspector James Day, head of the force's Serious Fraud Investigation Unit, said, "This arrest marks significant progress in this investigation. I can only imagine the anxiety and stress the victim has had to endure in this unusual and sophisticated case." 3.5 million in compensation for fraud last year they paid out. "We work with professional conveyances such as solicitors and rely on them and the checks they make to spot fraudulent attempts to impersonate property owners. Despite our efforts, we do register a small number every year of fraudulent transactions." That's shocking, isn't it? The Land Registry do even concede that they register a number of fraudulent transactions. Now, there is a service that you can use to alert you if you have ownership of properties in the UK and you want to make sure they stay in your name. If there's any changes to that title, you can sign up. And the web address to sign up to is https://propertyalert.landregistry.gov.uk, or just Google Property Alert Land Registry Gov.uk and that will come up. And basically, you can then register your properties, and in the event that somebody tries to register your property in their name or take it over, you will get an alert from Land Registry, and you can then lock the property down by contacting the relevant people, and they'll explain to you how to do that. So well worth registering your properties on the Land Registry so that you have those alerts teed up, because there are people out there that will steal your freehold. Can I just reassure people, it's not an everyday thing. And remember, like most news, most of these things are shocking, because that's why they're news, because they don't happen every day. So it's unlikely to happen to you, but lock it down, get yourself on the Land Registry Gov website and register your interest in that property so you get the alerts when anything like this happens in the future. So apart from that, we're looking at a busy day today. Lots of valuations coming in, many people looking to move next year and really preparing the ground for it now. So we're looking at several properties where people want advice, are deciding whether they want to sell or whether they want to rent. And it's a very common conversation these days, you know. And one of the things I always say is, if you're thinking, should I rent or should I sell? The first question to ask yourself always must be, does my personality lend itself well to becoming a landlord? Because for many people, the stresses and strains of being a landlord are just too much. So ask yourself, if you're the kind of person that will worry constantly, or can you decaffect? One of my favorite words, decaffect. It means to detach yourself emotionally from the actual asset. So if it was a family home, this can be particularly hard, where you have memories, where you have, you know, perhaps your children grew up there and now you want to turn it into a commercial entity. Well, tenants, largely in our experience, will look after your property. Will they take as great care as you did over the years? Maybe not. Maybe you'll find some damage, some certain things that will happen. Largely what we find is that people look after the property, but not to the same extent as an owner-occupier. We normally have problems with things like gardening, perhaps some cleanliness issues, but generally people do look after properties and pay their rent. But you have to bear in mind, if you're a landlord, this is no longer an emotionally connected house to you, or it shouldn't be. You should be decaffecting, detaching yourself emotionally and saying, this is now a business. There are only two questions. What does it cost me? What does it return me? That is the business model. And obviously you want to do it ethically and make sure it's safe and make sure you comply with the rules, which is where a great managing agent comes into this. Really important to get that compliance right, especially these days with the policing of it becoming much more important. And especially now we're looking at perhaps a national landlord's licensing scheme, and you'll need to make sure that you get all your ducks in a row. And particularly actually, if you don't get the paperwork right in the first place, you may struggle to evict your tenant later on if you need to do so. And the legislation in property, people think it stands still. It doesn't. It is constantly moving. You know, there are new regulations and new adjustments to the laws around housing every single year, and lots of them. So the procedures that you might have imagined were in place that were effective a couple of years ago could be totally different now. Things like the tenant's fee ban mean that you can't charge tenants for professional cleaning. You certainly can't charge them for pets. You have to add that into the rent. You can't charge them a fee for referencing. You have to be very careful. You can only go to a maximum of 5 weeks renter's deposit. And you need to comply with these rules very carefully. You also need to register the deposit, make sure you have a gas safety certificate, electrical safety certificate, pat test all of the appliances that you're leaving behind, the white goods and like anything with a removable plug. So there are lots of reasons why you need to think carefully about being a landlord. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. You know, I think if you're looking in the medium term and you can afford to buy your new home and you don't have to sell the existing one, then it could be a great opportunity for you to lock down an investment. Because that's what it becomes, an investment outside of your normal day-to-day. And the great thing about property is that largely, especially if you hand to a managing agent, it can be passive in nature. You hand it over, walk away, let them have the problem of the day-to-day management and running of it. You get on with your life. And in the meantime, what will happen is the rent will come in, hopefully cover your expenses, plus a little bit of margin. But then most importantly, the capital value in time will grow. And that growth will help you to provide for your family, both in terms of the added income on the one side, and of course, the capital growth on the other, because that income will become more significant over time as inflation helps you and rents go up. If you should sell or rent is a dilemma that many face. Of course, selling does give you a higher cash deposit for your new property, but it also reduces the amount of investment you have in UK property. And UK property over the medium term is not a bad place to be. Over the long term, it's an even better place to be. That's it for this week. Hope you've enjoyed it. Do join us next week with Bob Harris. We're looking forward to talking to him about energy efficiency and what you can do to improve the energy efficiency of your home, should you get those heat pumps or not. Thanks for listening. Look after your family and friends. Have a great week. Ciao. Thank you so much for joining us on yet another edition of the Property Buyer and Sellers Podcast. You can find out more at our website, jamesalexander.com. You can email me directly, ken@jamesalexander.com. We are estate agents and we can give you hints, tips, tricks and advice wherever you're buying, selling, moving to or from. Thanks to Ben Sounds for the intro and outro today, and thanks to Jack Bowles for production.